This Week is on the air. Thanks for making us part of your weekend. I'm farm broadcaster Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network. My colleagues Andy Eubank, CJ Miller, Sabrina Halverson, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, and I are ready to run down the top news and information from this past week in Indiana's most important industry, agriculture. Some farmers are taking their victory lap while others are rapidly approaching the finish line on harvest. We'll get an update from West Central Indiana on today's show. Purdue's corn specialist weighs in with his thoughts on fall anhydrous applications. Spoiler alert, he's not a fan. And CJ has a conversation with the newly appointed dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Purdue, who spent 30 years as our state veterinarian, Dr. Brett Marsh. Let's begin today's show with the weather. Some rain rolled through on Halloween, but Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Sea Genetics Direct Harvest Weather Forecast is dry for Saturday.
Temperatures cooler, especially a lot cooler than what we saw earlier this week when we were in the 80s statewide. But I want to point out that we are not cold by any stretch of the imagination. Early November temperatures are a lot cooler than this normally here in Indiana.
Martin is calling for moisture to return late this weekend and to continue through early next week.
Sunday morning to midday, showers start in western Indiana, spreading across the rest of the state, and we have on-again, off-again moisture through Monday and through Tuesday. Combined 3-day rain totals, I'm going to put them right now, half to 2 inches, with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. I will stress, though, that the only way we get into that 1 to 2 inch part of the range is with thunderstorms. I think there will be some thunderstorm activity, but not widespread. So we'll just have to see how everything works out, but moisture is coming.
We do dry down again for the second part of next week.
Wednesday through Sunday, we see high pressure nosing in out of the north, taking control. So since it's Canadian high pressure, it's going to be cooler initially, particularly for that Thursday-Friday time frame, but not cold, not compared to normal for early November. And so I'm looking for us to see some good drying. I do think we get another round of moisture probably somewhere in that week of the 11th. A system is developing out in the western part of the plains, but it's going to have this high pressure dome move out of the way first before it can head our way.
If you want more forecast details, you can find them now at HoosierAgToday.com, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. You can also stick around. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has his Indiana Farm Forecast coming up in less than 10 minutes here on Hoosier Ag This Week. Foreign animal diseases and ag trade were among the topics during the Tri-National Agricultural Accord hosted by NASDA a couple of weeks ago. CJ Miller reports how the meeting also served to build trust among ag leaders across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
What we're after is a quest to make certain we have that trust and understanding of what we're going to do, and as importantly, what we're not going to do.
And that's Ted McKinney, CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, or NASDA for short. He says one of the main goals was for ag leaders across the states and provinces throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to put together a plan to coordinate their efforts in the event of containing the spread of a foreign animal disease such as African swine fever.
Everybody, I think, knows that African swine fever is in the Dominican Republic, which is not too far offshore from Mexico. Mexico's worried that they don't want it, and we, of course, don't want it. And then, of course, Canada, they too could find it. If we're able to find the funding, we're going to do a very significant tabletop exercise that includes all three countries and just really work through to make sure that we identify what gaps need to be filled. Where are there inadequacies? What more can we all do on that fateful day if it ever does hit one of our countries?
And even though Mexico's import ban on biotech corn was put into place by their previous president, McKinney hopes that having discussions with those ag leaders of the different Mexican states can help move the needle to overturn their country's ban.
We still have some things to resolve. The major point being in November when the Dispute Settlement Committee of USMCA will rule on whether Mexico is right or if they've been wrong. And I hope the new president will abide by that. She's a PhD scientist. So if you're going to believe in the science, here's the great example of a leader that should be believing and following that.
He adds that this year's meeting also included the chance for state and provincial ag leaders to meet face-to-face with many of the leaders from across the ag industry.
And I mean industry from Canada, industry from the U.S., and industry from Mexico. We're all there. And it was quite the hit. It's civil, it's diplomatic, it's respectful. It highlights things that some of the state government leaders did not know. And so we're going to continue to build on that because it's the industry and at some level the farmers that are on the cutting edge of all this. They're the ones that see what's working, what's not working, what's threatening them, what's keeping them awake at night.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Halloween is over, so that means Christmas season has started. All the big box stores have already started playing the music, right? So Christmas obviously is here. Don't forget about Thanksgiving, okay? Turkey, still good. Let's eat that and have that holiday first. But Indiana Grown has announced the contents of the 2024 Indiana Grown Holiday Box, the perfect gift for your friends and family this holiday season. So let's make sure we get that taken care of here soon because there are only 390 boxes available. You can check out that story at HoosierAgToday.com. The perfect gift is the headline. Find it there and you can get your box ordered. Right now, we've got time to check in on the markets ahead of more farm news coming up later on in the show. Let's welcome in Andy Eubank for the markets.
Hey, thanks, Eric. It was a mixed close. Settlements coming up. But we begin with market analysis. And for that, I turned in the middle of trade to Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian, a good start to the month of November as corn, beans, and wheat all went higher. Then the middle of the session came and the markets turned and went the other way. Let's start with the start of the day where everything was positive and certainly in the grains and oil seeds, continued flash sales is a big plus.
That's true. Thanks for having me as always, Andy. We had some flash sales, as you said here, 9 a.m. Eastern time, sales of strong business, old crop corn to Mexico. Mexico continues to be a strong buyer of U.S. corn. We also had some sales to China of old crop beans and sales of unknown destinations, old crop beans. We also had a sale of soybean oil, Andy, today. So yes, that was enough to give the market a spark here to open things up on Friday. As the session wore on, my hunch is just a little bit of profit taking here at the end of the week. Looking at a lot of uncertainty, needless to say, as your listeners know, upcoming here. With the election on Tuesday, a lot of uncertainty about what's going on overseas in the Middle East and obviously the Black Sea, all those geopolitical things. Just uncertainty is a key word. And one other thing I'd add, Andy, we're at the very tail end of harvest. And perhaps there may be a little bit of cleanup sales taking place here on a rally like that. Maybe some orders in there. That'd be a minor factor. But we're probably down to the last 10% on beans nationwide, and we're probably down to the last 15% of corn nationwide. There is some lot of rain coming in this weekend, early next week. As your listeners have probably heard, that'll probably stall that last bit of harvest. So maybe seeing some movement ahead of that too. But maybe just, I'd say, end of the week, uncertainty, risk off, whatever phrase you want to use, ahead of a big 4 or 5 days coming up here, especially on Tuesday with the election. So but I'd say underpinning that initially was definitely that export business you spoke of a moment ago.
You mentioned weather. Let's talk about South American weather, what's happening there and what impact that may have on U.S. markets, if any.
Yeah, South American weather specifically, Andy, in Brazil has changed. It has been quite dry. Of course, they go through a dry season from May through August, middle of September. This year's was extended, though, and that slowed the start of their soybean planting. However, the last 2 weeks, and I would say stretch that into 3 weeks, they've started to get regular rains.
Market commentary from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. The number there is 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements. December corn gains up 3.75, 414.5. March ends at 429.25, up 3.25. January beans, 993.75, down 3/4. March down 1.25 at 1008.25. And slightly lower in the wheat market as well. December 568, 2.5 cents off. December live cattle, 185.92, down 37 cents. And 27 cents higher for December lean hogs, 84.07. And you're up to date now on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Who's Your Ag this week.
From the farm bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Who's Your Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at WhosYourAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We've got some moisture in our forecast here for the upcoming week. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. We've had a very dry fall to this point, and now we can actually talk about a little bit of moisture trying to work its way into our region. Harvest is about done in most areas. I know there's still some corn and beans left, mostly corn left out in the countryside, but we are way ahead of where we normally are on this specific date on all harvest. And so moisture coming in isn't necessarily a bad thing. We are looking at scattered rain showers trying to develop in Indiana as soon as late Sunday, but it does look like the initial waves of moisture with this weather system brewing out to the west are going to stay just a little bit farther west. So look for sunshine to dominate for your Saturday as high pressure still continues to sit right here. Temperatures are above normal for this time of year. Look, I don't want to hear anybody complaining about temperatures. We have yet to have a solid killing frost or freeze in some areas of the state. It's just been incredible, and here we are in early November. So temperatures are going to be above normal. Clouds building probably in the northern parts of the state tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening, so Sunday, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of moisture except from maybe far northwestern parts of Indiana as we move through the sunset to midnight hours at tomorrow night. Now, once we get into Monday, yeah, that's when we see rain starting to fill in over the northern half of the state at least, and I won't rule it out central and south, but right now looking at light rain to start, scattered showers, and that continues off and on through Monday. Some parts of southern Indiana will not see any moisture on Monday. Tuesday, the moisture starts to work in again, mostly mid to late afternoon through the evening, and then overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday morning, that's when we see the true frontal boundary passage here, looking at moisture all the way through there, and maybe a few thunderstorms. All in, all done from, let's just say, Sunday 9 p.m. through about Wednesday at 6 to 7 p.m., I think we have to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain. There can be a couple of places that will be 2 inches or more if thunderstorms come together correctly. I just don't think thunderstorms are going to be a huge threat. We dry down behind the frontal passage, so Thursday turns out partly to mostly sunny as high pressure settles in over Iowa and northern parts of Illinois. We stay dry then through Friday, through Saturday, and through most of next to Sunday, but clouds will be building Sunday afternoon, and I think another round of moisture, scattered showers, and a few thunderstorms will try and come back overnight Sunday night the 10th into Monday the 11th. Moisture out of that system right now, I'm going to pencil in at a quarter to 3/4 of an inch, but coverage only at about 75%. We'll see how that system develops a little bit more as we get closer to it. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Good things come to those who wait, but what if you don't want to wait? What if you want to pay for next year's seed order now? Well, you're in luck, because if you pay for your order from Seed Genetics Direct before November 10th, they'll take 11% off, and you can pay your way with cash, check, or credit card. Just make that payment by November 10th, and they'll take 11% off. So much for waiting around for good to happen. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Some rain rolled in on Halloween, might have put a little bit of a pause on harvest, but those in west central Indiana, they might have been done by then. Ben Jacob, pioneer agronomist, when he and I spoke on Monday.
I think we're probably 95% wrapped up on both corn and soybeans.
And now he says it's time to start thinking about replacing nutrients after another year of solid yields. There are some tough decisions ahead, and those decisions start with soil sampling.
My big thing on soil samples is when we take them, we want to try and keep everything we can consistent. From the previous samples we've taken, there are not many falls that have been this dry, or not many wrap-ups to a season that have been this dry, so that's pretty difficult. And so what that does is it changes the rate of nutrient recycling from the fodder, and it also potentially changes the amount of uptake and removal that we had, regardless of yield level.
With some farmers coming in with record or near-record yields for 3, 4, even 5 years in a row now, how often should you soil sample?
In an ideal world, I would say you would do it at least every other year. Now, I know that that's not always in the budget or in the management plan, but at least every 4 years. And really, again, take a hard look at some of the yields you've pulled off versus what you've been fertilizing for. And even if it's not been 4 years yet, it may not be a bad idea to check back in. Just to really dial in, I think you could save some money on your fertilizer plan by dialing it in a little bit with soil sampling.
Jacob dives deeper into that whole saving money thing in the Full Hat interview at HoosierAgToday.com. Get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. Speaking of fall field work, what about an anhydrous application here in the fall?
I don't like fall anhydrous. We don't recommend fall anhydrous.
Geez, tell us how you really feel, Dan. That's Purdue Extension's Dan Corn Quinn, and he does, in fact, tell us how he really feels in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nitrogen is so environmentally driven. And even something like anhydrous that is the most stable form of nitrogen, and you can get away with it in a lot of years where you have the right certain moisture conditions, really the soil temperature is cooling, and you can get away with it, but it just sits out there, right? And you're exposing it to a long period of time with environmental conditions. And we see the environment, right? It warms up and it cools off, and it warms up and, you know, you're just leaving it out there to get lost.
He was particularly concerned when he was driving around the state and saw some anhydrous going on last week.
It was dry as can be. It was 83 degrees out. So I understand why certain farmers do it from a logistics standpoint, and you're getting it out there, you're getting your nitrogen there, you're having it for next year. But man, you just think about how dry it is, you know, how much, you know, all those slots closing, how much are we losing? You know, the soil temps are not, you know, 50 degrees and decreasing, right? So how much are we going to end up losing if we do end up getting a lot of moisture and rainfall?
While Quinn doesn't recommend a fall anhydrous application at all, as you just heard, he certainly doesn't recommend it for any farm south of Indianapolis. Hear more from Quinn and Purdue Extension's soybean Sean Castile in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, available now in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. Let's keep on this Purdue theme, shall we? At last week's National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, FFA members had the chance to meet with representatives from more than 300 colleges and ag businesses. And of course, Purdue was there. CJ Miller has more.
So a lot of people think we're just farming or like crops, but then they realize we have so much more.
And that's Hannah Kramer, who's not only a wildlife major at Purdue, she's also a Purdue College of Ag ambassador. So when FFA members stopped by the Purdue booth at the National FFA Expo, Hannah was there to share why Purdue may be a good fit for them.
Definitely our biggest talking point is we are the number 3 College of Ag in the country and the number 5 College of Agriculture inside the world. So just with that title and that recognition, just naturally comes in a lot of connections. There are a lot of big companies that come in wanting to work with our students, like Corteva, Caterpillar. Like, there are those name brand companies that are big connections for students.
She adds that Purdue agriculture is more than just a college. It's a community.
We have about 3,000 undergrad students, so we still have that nice, close, tight-knit community as well. Students aren't falling between the cracks. A lot of our departments have pretty small student-to-faculty ratios as well, so you can easily find research connections with professors, easy to reach out to them if you're struggling in classes as well. So there's just so many reasons why Purdue goes above and beyond, specifically with their ag school.
Learn more about Purdue's College of Agriculture by visiting their website, ag.purdue.edu. I'm CJ Miller.
Thanks, CJ. And Purdue researchers are working with researchers at Michigan State to work on a new solar-powered irrigation system. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Young-Sik Dong, assistant professor and extension specialist at Michigan State University, is leading the project, which addresses energy challenges commonly faced in rural agriculture.
Could we utilize some of the solar energy to address the self-starting reactive power compensation and peak shaving? And that's one of the reasons we trying to, how can we help, how can we provide some technology that can be used by the farmers to improve their energy, their electric systems in rural communities.
The system aims to stabilize power by reducing peak demand and offers more reliable energy alternatives through solar power. Pilot tests will be conducted in both Michigan and Indiana with the goal of creating tools adaptable to farms of all sizes.
One of the objectives on this project is to come up with the decision support tool that can help to appropriately design the solar microinverter system for size-specific condition. We will take a look at different sizing for different size of farm and the pumps and what their needs. So that's one of the scope of the project.
If successful, the technology could not only cut energy costs, but also support sustainable water use, providing both environmental and economic benefits to farmers. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
All right, Sabrina, thanks. When we come back, we stay on this Purdue theme. Did we change our name to Boilermaker Ag this week? No, you're still tuned into Hoosier Ag this week. But when we come back, an interview with the new dean of the Veterinary College, Dr. Brett Marsh. This is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Are you seeing the same challenges or similar challenges here in the States that you saw or that you see in Brazil?
We see this difference most about size, but when you talk about decision agriculture and process and data, it's not about size. It's about, more about the mindset. We have an education process that we launched at Sense 6 Academy. And there we have a course that actually it calls Introduction to Decision Agriculture. And we don't talk about size in there. It's not about size. It's about mindset. If you have a managed mindset and you have a technology mindset, you can do whatever you want. Even if you are just a small farmer with 200 acres, is it possible to do that?
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you again for joining us. Here on Hoosier Ag This Week, I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. And after 30 years on the job as Indiana State Veterinarian with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health, Dr. Brett Marsh is leaving that role because he's taking up a new leadership position at Purdue. Beginning Monday, he'll be the new dean and CEO of Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine and Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Marsh joins us here on Hoosier Ag Today. First of all, Dr. Marsh, congratulations on the new leadership role at Purdue. I'm curious what led you to want to become the next dean of Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine.
Well, it's a very exciting time, and I think it's a great program at Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine. I'd like to build on that foundation. It admitted its first class in 1959, and so it's not a new program, so it has a lot of institutional history, and I'm excited about the opportunity to continue to support the faculty, staff, and importantly, the students of all type who come through that program. To transition from my role as state veterinarian, I'm hopeful I can bring some of those skills and talents into the role as dean.
And Dr. Marsh, I understand that you have quite a connection already with Purdue.
Well, certainly it's my alma mater. It's my home. I was a first generation college student to go to Purdue. I entered the College of Agriculture as an animal sciences student and then later matriculated into the College of Veterinary Medicine. So, yes, it's been a part of me all along. And I'm really excited and encouraged to be engaged in this new role. I've been involved with the college in a variety of ways, working with the Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory, and we've worked with Boiler Vet Camp. We've had a number of people from our BOA team who have participated in various lectures and seminars on the campus at the college. So there's been a close relationship between the Board of Animal Health and the College of Veterinary Medicine, and I hope they enhance that further over time. And I think there's unique opportunities to work with all partners across our state. We have a significant number of external stakeholders of the college. because of the public-facing hospitals. We have small animal and farm animal hospitals in Lafayette. There's the Equine Specialty Center in Shelbyville. We have the public-facing diagnostic laboratory in West Lafayette, as well as the Hickey Laboratory in Du Bois County. So there's a lot of external stakeholders that interface with college on a daily basis. So I'm excited about all the prospects moving forward, and I hope to build on the strong foundation that exists there.
My guest is Dr. Brett Marsh, who is the new dean of Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine here on Hoosier Ag Today. Dr. Marsh, you're also one of the country's leading researchers on foreign animal diseases, namely those diseases impacting the livestock and poultry industries. So certainly having you in that top role at Purdue helps extend the work that you've done with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health to mitigate the risk of foreign animal diseases, including African swine fever.
Yes, to your point, we've spent a lot of time here at the Board of Animal Health addressing a number of animal health challenges and species of all types across the state. And the college will be an important continuing contributor in that preparedness planning, whether it's the students, the faculty, and certainly our animal disease diagnostic laboratory is absolutely critical for our state. That laboratory is a member of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. And so it is a laboratory that's recognized by the USDA to do initial testing of suspect samples coming from animals that may have a foreign animal disease here in Indiana. So that's really critical to have that ongoing diagnostic capability close to the sites of production in our state. And of course, our state continues to grow significantly in poultry production in all aspects of the poultry industry. We're number five in swine. And of course, a lot of conversation right now about the H5N1 virus in dairy cattle operations. We do not have that diagnosis in Indiana, but our laboratory is equipped to take that on as well. Again, bringing these parties even closer together, I think, is going to be essential for us to be successful in the long term.
And Dr. Marsh, I would imagine that leaving the Indiana State Board of Animal Health after being there for more than 30 years must be a little bittersweet.
Well, it's certainly going to be quite a switch for me. Indeed, to your point, I've been in public service for 40 years. And again, I'm proud of the accomplishments, and I'm very bullish on the future of the agency and its ability to continue to provide quality service to the citizens.
Once again, Dr. Brett Marsh, the new dean of Purdue's College of Veterinary Medicine. And Dr. Marsh, congratulations once again. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Well, I truly appreciate it, CJ, and so thank you for that.
And with that, we turn out the lights on another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any part of today's show, feel free to download the podcast version. You can find it at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Oh, by the way, as a reminder, it's daylight saving time this weekend. The good news, we all get one extra hour of sleep on Sunday, but the bad news is trying to find all those clocks around the office and house that don't automatically reset and you have to take them down and try to get them all anyway. Just such a pain. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, and Hoosier Ag Today's chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.